Welcome to episode number 153.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 153 of the RV Podcast. I am Mike Wendland, and in the next hour or so, a special edition as we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's magnificent creation in our RVs. Doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a great big Class A, a Class C, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just thinking about getting out there someday. This is for you because we talk about traveling technology, RV tips, and lots of RV news and information. So we are delighted that you're a part of the program this week and that you are putting us in your ears. Thanks for being a part of the audience. Well, this week we are talking about the outdoor and RV event of the year, and that is Monday's solar eclipse. And we'll tell you why this is so important, why it is absolutely perfect for RVs to participate in, how to view it safely, how to find a place to watch it, and why, even if you have to skip work or school, why this is one event that is just made to be experienced by an RV. Plus, we've got your RV questions and RV news of the week and traveling tips, and Jennifer is going to tell you once and for all how to solve that pesky problem of RV light pollution from those inside switches and LED lights. Right now, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer, does join me. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
I should tell everybody my voice sounds a little strained, a little health issues this week, so we're going to put you, you're going to have to do a lot more work. So
oh, dear.
Pick
oh,
up
dear.
On my bad voice. We are recording this today from Albany, Georgia, on the road, and as we said at the top, we're going to talk about the eclipse today. This is hands down the blowout event of the year for RVers, and we've got lots and lots of information about the eclipse, why you need to be a part of it, how amazing it is to participate in. We're going to have a lot of fun. But we're down in Albany, Georgia, visiting our son Scott and his family for a couple of weeks. You know, we've got a couple of grandsons who play football down here, and Jacob and Matthew have already started. School started down here a week ago.
That's right. So they're full swing back in school, and first football game for Matthew last week. And
you know, one of the nice things about being in an RV is how you can use an RV for tailgating, and it doesn't have to be big college and pro games. It can be for high school games and middle school games. And Matthew is a high schooler and playing on the varsity team. They won their first game last week up by Atlanta, and they play again this week, and Jacob starts next week. So, you know, we just love, that's one of the nice things about our road trekking lifestyle, is being able to pick up and move and have our home with us.
And the RVs, can't say it enough. It seems like we say it so often, but the convenience of having a refrigerator, a bed to take a nap, air conditioning to get out of the heat, or heat if you happen to be someplace where it's cold.
Yep.
Jackets,
yep.
Mittens, hats,
lay
everything
down,
you
take
need
a nap.
Is right there, snacks, home with you.
So people are always wondering where we're going to go. We're going to probably stick around here till about Labor Day. Maybe then we'll go down to the Emerald Coast for a while. We've got a barbecue and blues event scheduled for Tupelo, Mississippi in the middle of September. And then we're really looking forward to visiting the Biltmore Estate, Asheville, North Carolina, for an event called the Overland East Expo, which is a trade show for those who, I guess you'd have to call them overlanders. They're an extreme off-the-grid 4x4 adventure-type vehicles. It's a really interesting show. And they do RV travel in a different way. Some of them are on motorcycles. And we'll show you our little new CS Adventurous XL 4x4 qualifies as an overlander. So we're going to go down and have some fun with that. That's coming up.
I'm looking forward to, because you know why I'm looking forward to it.
You're looking forward to the Biltmore Estate.
That's right.
Well, that's good. You've wanted to see that for a long time.
I have.
Hey, we met an interesting RVer this week, a nurse named Tiffany.
And it's so interesting visiting with her because she and her husband and their two children and their dog.
She's a traveling nurse.
She's a traveling nurse, and they live in their trailer, and she goes from place to place and freelances? How do you call that?
I guess, traveling nurse. She's really a part of a group of traveling medical professionals, and there's quite a few of these we've learned around the country, who journey around taking short and long-term medical work contracts in hospitals. She travels in an RV, and her husband, like I said, and two young kids are in a little RV at a RV park near here in Albany, Georgia. And this is more common than we thought.
Yeah, she works weekends, and she contracted for 13 weeks.
And last year, remember down in Florida, I met a guy, a cardiologist, a surgeon, who had a big Tiffin Class A. He lives in Orlando, but he travels in his Class A up and down the Gulf Coast as far as New Orleans, and he does special contract surgeries for hospitals along the way. But this is medical traveling, I guess.
You know, you just don't think of people living in their RV and traveling as doctors and nurses.
No, you don't. And, you know, it's just that whole mobile lifestyle that's possible now when you live with your RV. So anyway, that's what we have been up to. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Campers Inn, the RVer's trusted resource for over 50 years. They are the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership. They have 16 locations, and they're growing across the country. The thing about Campers Inn that's so neat is they have what they call the integrity pricing guarantee. That means all quotes for new RVs include freight, orientation, detailing, prep. You will never be surprised by hidden upcharges and fees. And that's one of the really neat things about dealing with a reputable outfit like Campers Inn. They sell motorhomes and travel trailers and more from the industry's leading sources. They've got Tiffin, Grand Design, Coachman, Thor, Forest River, Campers Inn exclusives like the Gulfstream Friendship and the Cruise Embrace. Campers Inn has award-winning RV sales and service, and that service, I can't underscore that enough, how important that is. All of their locations have RVs at excellent prices, certified trained personnel, and professional staff with years of knowledge. You need to check them out. Campers Inn, 16 locations and more as they grow across the country.
Is it a gadget,
a recipe, a tip?
Whatever she has in store for us,
it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient.
Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
It's been an ongoing discussion here on the RV podcast for the past several months about how to dim or block out all that bright LED light from the electronics and switches in our RVs so we're able to sleep in the dark. Listen up. This tip comes from an RVer we met named Ken. It's probably the last idea you'll need on how to finally solve the great LED light issue.
We thought we had found the best solution to cover up the LED light problem, but wait, there is a better way.
So this is Ken for a product called Light Dims. You can find on Amazon, and they call it a light dimming LED cover. They're perfect.
Oh, that is just too simple. What does it do?
It goes ahead and cuts the amount of brightness coming through the light, so it becomes easy to sleep at night. So you can put one layer on if you don't want it too bright, or you can go ahead and put two or three of these together to be able to dim it down to whatever's comfortable.
All right, what I'm seeing are little black circles of various sizes. So you're saying you can put one circle on top of the LED light, or you could put two. It depends on how dim you want it. And what exactly is this?
It's plastic film that goes over the lights.
This is just like too simple. This is just like what we've all been looking for so long. You deserve the prize. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
This is the ultimate solution. Once again, the product Ken said is called LED Light Dims, and we have built in direct links to them on our special site at kit.com/RVLifestyle. There you'll find a master list of every product we talked about on the podcast, and the light dims are there. Amazon sells two types, one which dims the LED by about 50%, and another kind that dims by 100% or completely blocking all light. They cost about $8 for a package and will let you cover up just about any offending light in your RV or your home. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's Tip of the Week is brought to you by our friends at Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping. You have certainly seen Rad Power Bikes if you've been out camping lately. They are everywhere at campgrounds as RVers adapt to these beautiful electric e-bikes. They fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs, and they will take you up to 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. All of the Rad Power Bikes give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. You can utilize 5 different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine the two. They're perfect for people who want to get back into riding, or maybe you're recovering from surgery or an injury, or you're looking for an extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles. Isn't that awesome? 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And they're priced at often less than half that of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markups are cut out. You deal directly with Rad Power Bikes. And I even got a better deal for you. If you mention Road Trekking at checkout, they will take an additional $75 off, plus you get free shipping on all of their bike models. They fit right on the back of a traditional bike rack on the back of your RV. Visit them, find out more about them, radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hello, Mike. I know that you are in a Class B. We are full-timers in a Class A. We have a Winnebago 2005 Adventurer. I have had bouts of vertigo really bad. My poor husband's ready to divorce me. At the present time, we have traveled from St. Pete, Florida to St. Augustine, St. Pete being our home base, although we are full-timers, like I said. We have bought stabilizers. We have used our levelers. And because of my condition and my recent episode, it has been very hard on me. I feel that there's something that we're not doing right. You seem very, very knowledgeable. I get your newsletter every Monday. It's very interesting and helpful. And I envy you traveling all over. We have just started. We are missionaries, and we do missionary projects, which will take us to North Carolina shortly. And I would like to see if we can resolve this matter, because I don't want to have to give up my home. We love it. Thank you, and blessings.
Oh, blessings to you, Elaine. I hear the pain in your voice. That is something. Vertigo is a horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who have suffered with it, and there's a reason.
Yeah.
I hope that there's a doctor that can help you figure this out.
Now, I will say this, Elaine, that one, you've done the right things if you've put stabilizers and leveling. And we are not medical experts, so please don't, you have to take this with just our experience and what we've observed. But we've actually experienced a little vertigo, and it's because when I don't follow my so-called 330 rule, when we drive too far and we're always on the road, it's kind of like when you're on a ship at sea, you stop and you feel like you're still driving, you're still moving. So if you have vertigo, that, the more you drive, the harder you drive during a day. I would try and drive less, maybe just a little bit of mileage. And also, we tend to see that these episodes come and go, so it's not normally a permanent condition.
Once I got vertigo after we drove home like crazy people, and I asked my doctor about it, and he had a sheet of exercises to do to help battle that. And I'm not a medical person. I don't understand the inner ear and the little hairs that hang down, but I had to turn my head left and look and right and up and down, and there was a whole sheet full of exercises to do to get over that. And a nurse friend told me I was dehydrated, so I don't know if you have consumed enough water or not. And she told me to eat watermelon, that that would be a good way to get, I guess, some sugar. And
you should
she
find
suggested
lots of that.
That.
In North Carolina.
So there is a reason for the vertigo, and we're not doctors, and we don't know. You know, it's so hard. I don't want to offend the medical people, but to find the right doctor, a doctor who can help you, and maybe people in our audience can come up with ideas how they've battled vertigo, because we're all different and we don't know what's going on inside our bodies. But there is an answer for this. And that was my life experience with vertigo. And I was very glad to get over it. And then once we were on a cruise ship, I remember, and I took medicine so that I wouldn't get vertigo because I have allergies. I don't know whether you have allergies. And trying to keep myself just right with allergy pills or whatever I need to manage the allergies. And coming home after being on that ship for a week, went in the shower and everything started.
Oh, yeah. We did the secret.
Everything's just started whirling on me. So, boy, my heart goes out to you with that vertigo because it is nasty. And I'm sure your tension that you're feeling because you're worried because you don't want to let down your husband and, you know, he's raring to go. But
so if we can be encouraging, Elaine, we just want to say hang in there. I think you'll see that these come and go, and take it easy. Don't travel real hard and stay in one place for a week or two till you get mastery of it, and maybe check with those exercises that Jennifer said. But you'll get through this. We know you will, and you're doing the Lord's work out there, so he's got a plan for you. you go get it. All right, let's go. We got another call that came in from Rich this week. Let's see what Rich has to say.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. Rich here from California. Love your podcasts and your videos and your blog. Thanks for all of that. After 13 years traveling in our Road Trek Versatile 190, we've decided to purchase a CS Adventurous, not a brand new one, 2014. And of course, I'm reading about all things Sprinter diesel related. I saw an online discussion among road trekkers recently about the concern with biodiesel or diesel with 20% bio that is found particularly in the Midwest, Minnesota they mentioned, and maybe other states in the Midwest tend to have that high bio content compared to 5% other places. And a lot of the people online seem to think that that was a problem for their engines. Do you have any wisdom to add to this issue and any suggestions as to what to do as sprinters are traveling in the Midwest? Thanks a lot.
Okay. I'm going to give you my opinion, and we'll see how it goes. Don't believe these online groups. These guys are nuts. Many of them are. They're armchair engineers, we call. Many of them who don't even own a sprinter. And I have read some of those things. I have talked to three Sprinter dealers who tell me there is absolutely no problem using that biodegradable. Now, you wouldn't want to use that stuff all the time. I have traveled for 5 years. We've gone through many different states, many of them that have the 20%, many of them that don't. We've never, ever, ever, underline that, never, ever, ever had an issue. My dealers, who I trust to do all my maintenance, say, don't worry about it. The problem, it's like, I would hate to be a doctor because everybody thinks they can go solve every disease by going online and looking it up on the University of Google. And that is the way it is with many of these online groups that, and I know they're well-meaning people. They really think they know what they're talking about, but they don't. It works. You can use it. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it, and you asked for it. So I have no problem. We have had four sprinters. We've had four sprinter-based RVs, and we've used 20% bio, and we've traveled states that sell it, and it doesn't hurt it at all. Doesn't hurt it at all. And so don't worry about it. I guess that's all I can say. And I'm not going to address this again because I'll get these armchair engineers saying, well, you know, we read this memo. And it's just a bunch of foolish opinion. And you can't take that to the bank. Now, I'm sounding a little hostile, aren't I?
Yeah, you are sounding a bit
uptight.
Well,
it's because they really make life miserable. These people who just want to nitpick and criticize. And this is not an issue. So, Rich, if you're thinking of a sprinter, don't worry about it. And you can, you know, go talk to sprinter dealers. They'll tell you the same thing. All right. I didn't mean to be hostile, but I get fed up with armchair engineers who are like Monday morning quarterbacks. I hate to be an athlete, you know, when you get all these idiots, I'm sorry, you get all these guys flashing you and telling you what you did wrong. They don't know what it's like to play the game. And it's the same with doctors who get people who, you know, want to tell them how to practice medicine. And it's the same with auto mechanics too. Okay, I am off my soapbox. I'll be nice for the rest of the program. Okay?
Promise?
I promise. All right, let's go be nice to Susan.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Susan from Schwanksville, Pennsylvania. I love listening to your podcasts. I currently have a travel trailer, but I'm thinking a Class B might be in my future someday. My question is, do you know if there's a good quick disconnect solution for the freshwater hoses? My grip isn't as strong as it used to be, and I sometimes find that I have a hard time getting the freshwater hose off of my travel trailer when I'm ready to pack up and leave the campsite. I hope you know if there's a good one out there that I could get, or if there isn't, maybe you can invent one. anyway, thanks so much for the great podcast. I really enjoy listening to them. Hope to see you someday at a campsite or a show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Well, we look forward to meeting you too. Yes, there is. There's a lot of disconnects. You can probably find them at most RV stores. Just go in and say, hey, I'd like a quick disconnect, and they'll come and hook you up. They're pretty easy. It's a pit peeve of mine too. I have not installed one. I really should, because that's probably the most irritating part for me is screwing on the city hose when I do find a city water hookup that we use. But I think you can get them at Lowe's, at probably Home Depot, certainly camping stores. I've seen them at General RV. I've seen them at Camping World. So you shouldn't have any trouble. And if we get a chance this week before we put this podcast up, I'll see if I can add one to our kit, at kit.com/RV lifestyle, and I'll put it at the list of the products we mentioned, but they're very inexpensive. And I think you could, if you stopped at one of those stores and said, hey, come and just show me how to put it on, they'll do that for you. So I think we can solve some relief for that. It is a hassle.
Oh, that's one of your hassles. Yeah? You don't enjoy hooking that up.
I don't. All right, one more call. We've got a lot of them, and we can't get to all of them every week, but let's see if we can squeeze in this last
one. We're wondering about spare tire. We have a Pleasure Way. Do you have a spare tire on your road trek? Do you think it's essential? The other is, what about a box on the back that would also work for bikes as well as extra storage? Any ideas? Would appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, that's Gerald who called that in on our voicemail line on the roadtrekking.com blog. Thanks, Gerald. Well, we do have a spare. We've always had one. We've never needed one.
We had a flat tire once, but we did manage to get to a tire repair store.
We did. That's right. We did have a flat, and they actually fixed the one that was going flat.
Mm-hmm.
I think I keep one, Gerald, just for peace of mind.
Yeah, I would, especially if you like the back roads.
Which we do. We do. Now, our I don't know if your Pleasure Way has dual wheels in the back, but that gives you two more tires that could go out. We have never, lost a tire. Our tires have been in great shape on all four Sprinter-based vehicles that we've had. I know your Pleasure Way is a Sprinter-based vehicle, I think, the one that you have. But I would recommend having one. Is it essential? Probably not. Because
just for peace of mind.
Peace of mind. But you, I'm sure, have road service. And so somebody would come and they would take the old one off and fix it. But it's a lot easier, it seems to me, that if you did have a flat and someone came and they didn't have the repair kit with them in the truck, it would be just another hassle that you got to go through to get that other one off and then repaired and then put back on, rather than just putting on a spare. So my recommendation would be, if it's no big deal to you, get one. If it is, don't.
Yeah. And then the box on the back.
Box on the back. We had a stowaway for a year or two, and it was very handy. And I would probably still have one, but that was when we had the regular size Sprinter. Our last two vehicles have been extra long Sprinters, which is just, it's only 14 inches longer, 14, 18 inches longer, but you get so much more basement storage under the sofa that we haven't needed to have that extra box. We do have a bike rack that we can carry our bicycles with. And if you're a regular listener, you know we have been talking for many, many weeks about my search for the perfect kayak and a way to carry it.
That is, it's a search for the perfect kayak.
I got another email today from somebody offering another one that's kind of like a foldable one. So I'm sure I'll find one before the year is out. But I would recommend a rack if you have some, you can carry extra chairs. We like to take those gravity chairs, those look at the sky chairs, they go all the way back. And they're hard to fit underneath the basement area of the Sprinter-based RVs. So we
my recommendation is to pack more efficiently and not take so much. That's figure it out. As you can keep adding on and adding on.
That's it. You got it exactly right. That's
and you good. Like you got a lot of stuff to bring.
I do. All right. Well, I hope that answers your question. And hey, you listener out there, you got a question? You got a comment? We would like it.
Want to be part of the podcast?
Ask a question? Leave a comment? Click the Leave Voicemail button on the right side of the RVPodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Hey, sponsoring this part of the podcast is our friends from Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three different locations. Now, if you are in the market for a Class B, you know how high demand they are, and that's why you're going to want to check in with these three dealers. VanCityRV.com, write them down, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. Three dealers, all owned by the same folks, specializing in Class Bs from the major manufacturers. They have new and used models in stock on the lot right now, all ready to deal. Road Treks, Pleasureways, leisure travel vans, Class B, B pluses, other small motorhomes, Chinook motorhomes. VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, WagonTrailRV.com. Here's our buddy Dan the Van Man with what's going on this week.
Thanks, Mike. Well, we'll have our brand new 2018 road trucks rolling in. We'll have our 190 this week. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com. We also have a nice 2013 leisure travel Unity Murphy bed available with only 31,000 miles. You can give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check them out at VanCityRV.com.
Okay, here is our extended conversation about the event of the year, and that is, of course, the total eclipse of the sun. A total eclipse is when the moon moves between the earth and the sun so that it completely blocks the light from the sun. This happens for us in just a few days, August 21st, 2017, when a total eclipse of the shadow of the moon falls on the earth, and you can see, literally see the atmosphere around the sun called the corona, which you usually can't see.
And during that time, it gets like dusk, and the animals react, and it is just a really special time at the eclipse's peak. Four planets can be seen, and you can even see the stars. Everyone in the continental U.S. will see at least a partial eclipse, weather permitting.
Now, the total eclipse will start in Oregon at 10:15 a.m. local time, August 21st. And this, what is so amazing, it will travel 1,600 miles per hour. And that, by the way, I looked this up. It's three times faster than a jet plane. And it will travel those 1,600 miles to South Carolina and about a 70-mile swath of land in 12 states will be in the path of totality. That means complete darkness. With an area in southern Illinois, which is called the Giant City State Park, experiencing the longest period of darkness, they'll last there, that complete darkness, for about 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
A total solar eclipse, that's rare. The last one that hit the U.S. mainland came in 1979, but it could be seen in only five states. A total solar eclipse from coast to coast has not crossed the entire country since 1918, and the next one is April 8th, 2024.
Now, what do you need? Well, the first thing you need are glasses. Listen, this is really important. You cannot look at the solar eclipse without wearing glasses to protect your eyes. You can not only injure your eyes, but listen, you could actually go blind. Now, we're going to put a lot of links on the show notes for this episode. So whether you just download this directly to your iPad or iPhone or your Android device or you listen to it online, make sure you go to our show notes page, which is roadtrekking.com/153. We'll have links to everything you need to know, including a big interview we're going to do in a little bit with a guy that's a top expert. But it's important that you understand about those glasses. Because here's the thing, as August 21st gets closer, it is getting harder and harder to find safe glasses. The glasses if you get glasses, there's a lot of people selling them. I'm hearing a lot of horror stories about glasses that don't have what's called the ISO rating. That stands for International Organization for Standardization. I know it's a big bureaucratic word, but ISO, they mean they're certified that they're safe. Your glasses for the solar have to have ISO ratings, and it has to have this reference number, 12312-2. 12312-2. So the glasses need that reference number so you know that they're safe. I've heard of one company that sold thousands of them and have been having to send out notices now to their customers that their glasses were not safe. So make sure you have that reference number, 12312-2. There are five companies that make Eclipse glasses that the American Astronomical Society and NASA have certified as safe. I'll give you the manufacturers' names, and again, this is all in the show notes. American Paper Optics, the Bader Planetarium, that's in Germany, Rainbow Symphony Glasses, Thousand Oaks Optical, and TSE 17. Those are the manufacturers that you can be sure are safe, and they will all have that same reference number, 12312-2.
NASA says once you have the glasses, there are steps you need to take to wear and use them safely. Again, we'll link to those steps in our show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/153. If you can't find approved solar eclipse viewing glasses, check your local library. Many have glasses they will be distributing for free. Many of the public viewing events in the Path of Totality will be providing public viewing glasses as part of their price of admission. Also, many science websites have information on how to make your own safe viewing devices.
And we'll put some links to those too, so you can read all about those. They'll be in the show notes. Now let's just talk a little bit about seeing it. Let's talk about our national parks, first of all. There are 21 national parks and 7 National Park Service trails that lie in the Path of Totality. And many of these parks are expecting record-setting crowds. They're planning special events. And again, they'll all be listed in the show notes. And in our Off the Beaten Path section in a little bit, we're going to give you a state-by-state rundown of some of the events and some of the warnings that are being issued.
And as far as boondocking, in Oregon, state officials are warning people not to camp on the beach in hopes of experiencing the solar eclipse because of dangerous changes in tides. Officials said that August 20th and 21st will have very high and very low tides, making it potentially dangerous when the high tide rolls in.
Now, Jennifer mentioned NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration. They have a really cool countdown, and they will start reporting live from noon to 4 p.m. Eastern on its website on August 21st. They'll track the eclipse. It's probably one of the better sites to visit before Monday because you can watch a lot of interviews with scientists and learn more about what you're about to watch. And they also have a really good webpage listing community events throughout the stream of totality and really good interactive maps. But right now, I think the top expert, because we're really excited to bring him back on the program. We had him on a few weeks ago, a couple months ago. But his name is Michael Zeiler. Michael Zeiler is a map-making solar eclipse expert, and he is behind the website called the Great American Eclipse Website. And Michael has just some amazing information for us. Hands down, I think his website is the best resource you'll find on this momentous event, where to see it best, how to see it, and how RVers can best be poised. So without any further ado, let's listen to Michael Zeiler tell us more about the eclipse.
Let's talk, start off real in general terms about this total eclipse of the sun, what that means, and then how rare is this in terms of when's the last time we've had something like this in the United States, and when will we have it again?
Well, the last time that we had a total solar eclipse within the continental U.S. was 1979 up in the Pacific Northwest. So that's been a gap of 38 years since the continental U.S. has experienced totality. It's also been 99 years since the last total solar eclipse that passed this country from the Pacific coast to the Atlantic coast. So while total solar eclipses happen somewhere in the world every 16 months or so, for a given area, they are fairly rare.
Would you sort of describe it? It happens on August 21st, and of course for our audience who are travelers and explorers and RVers who love to be out there, this is such an incredible opportunity for them to see the amazing eclipse that we're going to have.
And of course, RVers have a leg up on most of the rest of the country because you've got your accommodations with you, which is a beautiful plan for this eclipse. Every single day, I get emails from people who are farmers or own a field in the path of totality, and they want to get the word out that they're going to be opening up their fields for people to come and camp. So given that this eclipse is in August, which is a perfect time for camping, my advice to people, even if they can't find any hotel accommodations, is to just go. Take your RV, take your camper, take your tent. Just go. You'll find a place to sleep, and it will be the most amazing sight of your life.
Start with a description of totality and how narrow of a band is totality. That means the complete eclipse.
Yes, the path of totality across the United States this August varies from about 60 miles wide to 71 miles wide. And this is exactly where you have to be to see the main show, to see the moon completely cover the sun for a couple of minutes. And once that moment appears, you will just be dumbfounded by the sight before you. It's like standing on an alien planet and seeing something you've never seen before in your life. The sun's corona, its atmosphere, is literally the most beautiful object in the sky, and it rotates around over us every single day, all of our lives. But we can never see this beautiful object except for the precious moments of the total solar eclipse.
So it's a narrow band of about from 61 miles to 71 miles, and that is where you need to be underneath the sun in that area. There's a map, of course, that if people are looking at the website, they'll see. But for those who are first listening to this, describe where it first appears, it's the time of that, and then where we last would see it on the continental U.S.
Okay, the very first landfall of this eclipse on the United States is just north of Newport, Oregon, at a place called Yakina Head, a rocky outcrop. That's the first spot. And then it races across the nation, starting around 2,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
And then slowing down to about 1,400 miles an hour in Kentucky. And then it leaves Cape Romaine in South Carolina at about 2:48 p.m. on that day.
So that would be Eastern time? That would be Eastern time, 2:48 p.m.
Yes.
And what is the time, the Pacific time when it first appears in Oregon?
10:15.
So 10:15. So this whole thing is over in about an hour and a half or so then.
Exactly.
That's fast.
Exactly.
Yeah. From west
to
east.
Fast.
Yeah.
But there is an opportunity with that 93 minutes of totality across the nation, and that is that solar astronomers are very keen to see the evolution of the corona during those 93 minutes. So there's several national experiments that are being done across the country to watch what transpires during that hour and a half. That's a rare opportunity because it's uncommon for an eclipse track to pass over such a populated belt of people.
You mentioned that it slows down to about 1,400 miles an hour over Kentucky.
Yeah.
Would that mean that Tennessee, Kentucky, that region would be perhaps the best place to see the totality, at least for the longest period of time?
Any place along the path is a good place to see totality as long as you have clear skies. Yeah.
Yeah, that weather forecast. It's just like sometimes I want to get up and I always want to photograph the Milky Way at night. It's pretty rare to get a clear sky. But, of course, it'll still get dark even if it's cloudy. You just won't see the...
It will.
Yeah, you won't see the corona. What kind of special... protection for the eye? Do people need to have on it? This isn't something they can they look at when it's in totality? Can they look at that with the naked eye?
Well, here's the thing: when during the partial phases of the eclipse, roughly 1 hour leading up to the totality, we've got a partial eclipse, and to watch the partial eclipse, you need to have cardboard eclipse glasses or something similar and safe like that. Once totality begins, you take them off and you can look directly with your eyes at the corona for the 2 minutes or so.
Wow.
So it is safe during the 2 minutes or so to look directly at it.
This is a pretty exciting thing to do. On your website, The Great American Eclipse, I want to just tell people why they need to see this. It has a list of the best places to view, a description of the splendor of it all, what kind of a phenomenon. But where your skill, Michael Zeiler, really comes in as a cartographer, a map maker, is in the maps that you have put together. You have maps, national maps, Oregon eclipse, Idaho, the states it goes through, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas. So wherever you're going to look, Michael has put together a map that shows you where you will see it best. And I love the history that you have put together of the total eclipse. That has been really exciting.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you get calls all the time from people who want to make some farmland available.
And I will have maps for each state where people can see fields that are being offered and then simply click on that symbol for that field. And then they'll get all the information. They'll get a phone number, a website, an email address, whatever is appropriate.
And August 21st has to be a time that you make sure you have some time available to get there, because this is something that you're not going to see until when again? When is that date?
Well, the next one in the U.S. is April 8th, 2024. That's the next one coming up for us here in the U.S.
That is a long time. That's a long time away. So the 21st of August is a Monday. So those of you who have jobs that you've got to work around, just make sure you get a Monday off. Take a long weekend. But for the rest of you, this is a time to start. I mentioned at the very beginning before I had you on the air here, we have a plot in Oregon right underneath it where we're doing a road tower gathering. But I know many others are looking at Tennessee and Kentucky in the mid part of the country, and of course some great stuff in Nebraska, and your website will give folks across this country a great list where they can go and they can see. What about those who just can't get away? How about, you know, from the northern part up at the Canadian border down to the Gulf Coast? How dark will it get there when they're not in that band of totality?
It depends how close they are. If they're within 200 miles, daylight will become noticeably darker, and it'll be eerie looking, and the shadows will be sharp. But if you're on in Canada or Mexico, that eclipse probably won't be noticeable at all. There will be a dimming of sunlight, but it won't be that obvious, and an ordinary person probably wouldn't even notice that day was different.
Hmm. Okay. So you got to get out there, folks. That's all. This is a really awesome opportunity to see it. And it's the whole country. And we'll send everybody there. Michael, I want to thank you again for all the work that you have done on your website. I know many, many farms and ranches are just making plots of land available. And of course, RVers with motorhomes, which are all self-contained, you don't have to worry. You've got everything you need there. The website again, and just go to the show notes for this episode, and you can see links to everything we've talked with Michael about. GreatAmericanEclipse.com. Michael Zeiler, thank you so much for being our guest today on Road Trekking.
Thank you, and it's been my pleasure as well.
Now, we'll have lots of information as we come back in a little while in our Off the Beaten Path report about various news and information about each state. So you want to stay tuned to that, because we're going to give you lots of bulletins and warnings and all sorts of stuff you need to know state by state as the eclipse passes. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com in beautiful Gainesville, Florida, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome is, listen to this, is delivered to the customer's driveway free anywhere in the country. Sunshine State RVs has the largest inventory of used Class Bs you will find anywhere in North America. Hands down. If you're looking for a Class B, you need to either go visit them in sunny Florida in Gainesville or check out SunshineStateRVs.com. They have every possible make and model of a Class B you can find, from road treks to pleasureways to Winnebagos to leisure travel vans and more. Honest, not a wider selection anywhere in North America on used RVs. They also buy on consignment, and they'll buy them outright from you, too, if you've got one that you want to sell. They sell new road treks. Sunshine State RVs is a new road trek dealer, and they have all the road trek models in stock. You can look at their showroom online, or you can go visit it in person. Honest, you are not going to find a wider selection of Class Bs anywhere else. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They ensure, when we watched them do this, when Jennifer and I visited them earlier this year, they ensure that every mechanical and manual system is in top condition. They road test every RV. They make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior components. SunshineStateRVs.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, we have two official stories, but we also have this Road Trekking RV podcast breaking news.
On August 12th at 12:33, Jeffrey Wendland came into the world at 21 inches and a little over 9 pounds. So congratulations to Amy and Jeff and Jovi, as their family includes one more little Wendland.
And we now have eight grandchildren. Many of you know our son, Jeff, who helps out with our work on social media in particular. Our daughter, Wendy, who also helps out with the podcast. It's kind of like our family business these days now, as this podcast and our YouTube channel has grown. But we're so excited to have a brand new little grandson, Jeffrey Wendland, and it came in on Saturday the 12th. So.
And time for lunch.
Time for lunch. Yep, it is. It was just in time for lunch. He's taken after his grandpa. All right, two stories from the RV news of the week. The first one, hey, we have to go here, Jennifer. Disney World has unveiled a brand new glamping center, the most magical place on earth, embracing the outdoors with a new Copper Creek Villas and Cabins at its Wilderness Lodge in Orlando. Debuted in July, it's a collection of rustic retreats that include 184 villas and cabins, including 26 waterfront cabins and 4 grand villas. Now, I don't think they're letting you do RV camping there, but they're billing it as a glamping resort. And it's just around an artificial river bend from the Magic Kingdom. And the accommodations include full kitchens, living, dining rooms, refined decorative details. Inspired by the westward settlers of the Pacific Northwest, and guests of these new villas and cabins have access to all the amenities, cabana-lined swimming pool, and riverfront spa, water taxi, but a glamping center. I wonder if they can allow RVs in there. I know they have that. We've never Have we ever camped there?
We've never talked about going to Wilderness, but never been able to pull it together.
Their campsite is at Wilderness. I know many of our listeners have gone there. We should go do a special thing this winter from there.
We want to go, but we always have a little bit of a dog issue, but I'm sure they have good arrangements
for your dog. I'm sure they do. Hey, second story. For those of you who like to camp in the beautiful state parks and recreation areas of Michigan, starting November 1st, following a national trend that seems to be happening across many states, Michigan is going to raise camping fees. They will start seeing, it's pretty confusing, a bunch of incremental increases starting November 1st. Now, we're told that camping and lodging fees provide 48% of the revenue that helps to operate and maintain Michigan's award-winning state parks, according to the Department of Natural Resources. They say that this change is one of those periodic adjustments they have to make so the fees keep pace with inflation and provide resources to help the parks keep them in the condition that, you know, people expect. So here's how it's going to work. The DNR is going to use this demand-based pricing model. And you might as well get used to hearing about this because I think you're going to see this spreading across the country. And here how they're going to do it. On nights when they have greater than 84% occupancy, another, you know, top season, fees will increase by an average of $2.67 per camp night. For nights with lesser occupancy, 66 to 83%, fees would increase by an average of $2.42 per camp, right? And when they're not filled in the off season and it's less than 66% occupancy, the fees are going to increase by about $1.13 per camp night. So there you go. It ranges from $1.13 to just a little over $2.50, $2.60 per camp night. That's what those raises. And they start phasing those in November 1st in Michigan. And we'll have links. You can go to the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/153, and you can learn more about both those stories. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E. They are, as you know, if you listen to this podcast, the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Aldi Hydronic system is the same kind of system that really heats high-end estate-type homes. It brings so many features and benefits that you can't find in any other product. It's a silent heat, a radiant heat, providing a warm, even, natural, heated interior. It's great for pets. It increases your interior space because you're combining your hot water heater and your air heating system. It's efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. It will thus extend the life of your propane about 40% over forced air. And it has great options. Our favorite, of course, is the heated floors on cold fall nights or those chilly mornings. It's so nice to get out of bed in the RV and have those floors just so nice and comfortable, warm. You can pad around bare feet. It's so great. It's all controlled by a modern, programmable, color touchscreen thermostat and interface. You'll find them on many different RV platforms, NewCamp, Airstream, and RoadTrek RVs. Check them out. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right. What do we need? More power for our tech gadgets. And when do we need it? We need it right now. Here's our buddy Steve Van Dinter about taking along more power for all those gadgets you take traveling with you in your RV.
Hi, Mike. Well, with fall quickly approaching, our already packed schedules start to overflow with work, school, practices, and games. And all that extra running can put a strain on our devices' batteries. But fear not, there are some easy ways to power up. Your SoundSport Bluetooth headphones can be a lifesaver, playing your favorite tunes while on the run, allowing you to finish a conference call on the go, or letting you listen to an audiobook for work while watching your child's game. We'll spend less time charging them and more time using them with the SoundSport charging case. With just 15 minutes of charge time, you get an additional hour of listening time. Or you can leave your headphones in here for 2 hours for a full charge. We'll have a device like the Samsung Galaxy S8 or LG G6, then you can wirelessly charge it. With a wireless charging pad, you simply set your phone on and charging begins instantly. No more fussing around with tangled or lost wires. You simply set it and forget it. And with 15-watt fast charging, devices that support fast charges will wirelessly charge about as fast as when they're plugged into the wall. Well, you can turn any phone into a wirelessly charging phone with the Mophie Juice Pack Wireless. This protective case will provide an additional 50% of power to your device, making sure you make it through the day. And when it's running low, simply lay it on the included wireless charger to get a boost. We'll find all of your devices seem to be always running on empty. Well, now you can power your tablet, smartphone, and another USB device at once with the Mophie PowerStation XXL20000. This is seriously the king of battery packs, with enough capacity to fill your smartphone six times over. And its slim size means it easily slips into a backpack, briefcase, or purse. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
Hey, thanks, Steve. And we have, we'll put in links to all of these power devices that Steve mentioned. We use these in our travel, and I can't tell you how much nicer it is just to plug it in and charge those batteries from the power packs rather than having to run the inverter and all the noise and have it run through the RV's AC systems. So links to every one of those, you can click them, go to the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/153. Scroll down to the traveling tech section, which is always brought to you by our friends at Verizon Wireless, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. Verizon Wireless is the only network we use when we are on the road to send in all of our reports, including the one that you're listening to right now. It's a reliable, solid connection. And with these devices that Steve just mentioned, you can find yourself doing a pretty good job of keeping all your devices charged, and you don't even have to go through the automobile inverter system. They're a great device. See the links on the show notes for this episode.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right. Here is what we are really excited to share with you. This Off the Beaten Path report is going to be a little different this week. Jennifer and I are going to tell you what you need to know state by state about the eclipse. We're going to talk about warnings. We're going to talk about advisories that are out there and what's going on, because this is the story, as we said before, the RV story of the year. Perfect for RVers to go out and enjoy it. So here we go, state by state.
A number of states in the path of totality have issued warnings. Let's run them down for you state by state. Oregon. All Oregon State Park campgrounds are full. This isn't the weekend to wing it.
No, it isn't.
Expect unprecedented traffic before, during, and after the eclipse. Avoid traveling on August 21st.
I mean, they really are expecting full and jammed roads out there. I saw a story, Jennifer, where they're ordering extra anti-venom because they think there's going to be more people bit by rattlesnakes. So you want to get in position by the 21st.
The usual conveniences may be hard to get to. Fill your tank and stock up early on food, medicine, cash, and anything else you can't live without. Cell phone service may become iffy. Expect campfire bans in central and eastern Oregon.
They've had a lot of wildfires out there and also in Canada as well. So you got to be really careful about that. Pay attention to that.
Expect very high tides at the coast overnight. Camping on the beach is risky. Overnight parking on the beach is prohibited. Protect your eyes during the partial eclipse. We have approved eclipse glasses in our parks store.
That's what they say, that their park stores will have them. All right, that's Oregon. Idaho and Wyoming also are in the path of totality, and officials there, they frankly say they have no idea how many people will come. The predicted crowds for Idaho and Wyoming, listen to this, range from 50,000, that's a lot, but up to 500,000. They don't know. These are estimates according to the Idaho Falls fire chief. He says that toilets, food, medical emergency, crowds heading outside are increasing the risk of wildfires, and those are real valid concerns. They say it is going to be very crowded in Idaho and in Wyoming.
Nebraska has banned oversized trucks from traveling I-80 for 4 days from sundown Friday to sunrise on Tuesday to ease traffic around the eclipse. Wyoming and Oregon doing the same.
Can you imagine that? All those big trucks, you know, you see those oversized trucks if you travel I-80 a lot. We just drove that a couple weeks ago. And there for 4 days, no I-80 traffic, Idaho, Nebraska, Wyoming, Oregon. Wow, that's going to be crazy. In Missouri, the Department of Transportation folks were anticipating more than a million visitors heading to its state to view the eclipse. Residents in Missouri are being warned to expect extreme gridlock. That's a quote, extreme gridlock. They're also warning people not to stop in the middle of the road to watch the eclipse.
In Illinois, the Carbondale Southern Illinois University football stadium is being converted into a stadium viewing spot. Tickets are selling for $25 a piece.
South Carolina, where the eclipse kind of leaves the continental United States, and officials with the Emergency Management Division have issued a tongue-in-cheek warning to citizens in several of its counties to be vigilant of paranormal activity associated with the upcoming solar eclipse. Specifically, they're asking for residents to report any sightings of lizard men. And that's a report that gained a lot of traction at news agencies around the country. People were treating it as a serious story. I'll put links to it. And they had to say, hey, it was tongue-in-cheek. We were just kidding.
And across the country, individual states are setting up porta-johns, setting up extra emergency rooms, canceling optional surgeries, setting up additional cell towers, stocking up on toilet paper.
It's important. And the biggest question of all, the weather forecast. Well, that's the one variable that could ruin your view of the total solar eclipse. You got to pick the right spot. And I wish we could give you better advice at the time we're recording this, about 5.5 days ahead of the actual event. The forecast was generally for clear skies in the west of the country and a chance of showers in the southeast. So that is about all we know. Again, we have given you so many resources on the eclipse. I hope you've gotten excited about it. I just in sharing them, aren't you excited?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime event, and I hope that, as we've all said, all of our RVers
can... Yeah, it depends on how long your life's going to be.
It's only seven
years.
More years? Yeah. Okay, well, maybe
it's twice. If I heard that right,
I think it's
2024?
Not, I think it's up...
2017?
I don't think it's in the U.S., though.
Oh.
I think it's somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, go see it now because you don't know what 7 years will make the way we're going. Hey, Off the Beaten Path brought to you every week by our great friends at Steinbring Motor Coach, located in the beautiful Chain of Lakes region of Minnesota. Jennifer and I visited Steinbring Motor Coach this year, and we are so excited to have gotten to know the folks there. What a great dealership. And that Chain of Lakes region is just spectacular in Minnesota. I think I'd go buy an RV just so I could have an excuse to go visit all those lakes. They sell, Steinbring is the newest road trek Class B dealer in the country. They are also the exclusive Newmar Class A motorhome dealer up in that part of the world. And they sell a bunch of other used RVs like from Road Trek and from Winnebago and Itasca and Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler. But the new lines that they have in the most beautiful indoor showroom, it's huge, very, very comfortable showroom indoors. Brand new Newmar Class A's laid out there for you to see and all of the Road Trek new vehicles to look at. Steinbring has been in the business since 1917 in the transportation business. The family bring in the best products and service that you can find. Their sales staff has decades of experience. You know, that's what you want when you buy an RV. You want salespeople who know the business, know RVs. They're celebrating 100 years in business, that family. Third generation family business. Along with being named a Blue Ribbon dealer many, many times, Steinbring offers award-winning service as well. Check them out. Go to their website, Steinbring Motor Coach, and also if you can, visit them in person. Give them a call. They will help you find the absolute best deal, Steinbring Motor Coach.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendlin. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
Okay, that's it for this edition of the podcast. I want to thank you all for listening this week. We will be back a week from today with another edition. Go out and see that eclipse. It is going to be magnificent. Thanks for putting us in your ears this week. Bye-bye, everybody.